Goedemorgen en heel hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power. En fijn dat u en dat jij kijkt. We hebben hele mooie herinneringen, bijvoorbeeld aan gisteren in Apeldoorn, in de Grote of de Lolaankerk, waar dominee Schuller twee keer heeft gesproken. Want voor degenen die het nog niet weten, dominee Schuller, Anthony, is met zijn vrouw Donna in Nederland. En het was een prachtige dag gisteren en ook de dag ervoor. En vanavond, als u het nog niet weet of als je het nog niet weet, ben je van harte welkom in de Pieterskerk in Leiden. Die prachtige oude kerk in het centrum van Leiden, waar dominee Schuller om 8 uur hoopt te spreken. En er is natuurlijk ook muzikale medewerking van Jan Mulder van Koor. En Melissa heeft gisteren ook gespeeld in Apeldoorn. Dat deed je voortreffelijk, Melissa. Melissa is een trouwe kijkster van Hour of Power. Ze zit in de jong talentklas van het conservatorium en krijgt les van de solotrompetist van het Concertgebouworkest. Nou, dat is heel wat, Melissa. Ik ben heel benieuwd wat je kan spelen. Ik ga ze wat vragen. Bijvoorbeeld, wat mijn favoriete lied is, The Rose van Bette Midler. Ken je dat?
Ja.
Ja? Oké. Okay. Prachtig joh, wat ben jij een talent.
Dankjewel.
Gaan we straks over praten. Wij gaan eerst naar de Crystal Cathedral.
From the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, join Robert Schuller in An Hour of Power. Now celebrating our 37th year as the face and voice of positive Christianity to the world.
Wonderful morning we have planned for you. Well, actually, God planned it, put it together, and we're going to leave this place in about 64 minutes uplifted, because it's a morning with a message for you that will inspire and motivate and encourage you. Wherever you've come from, we hope you'll turn around a minute right now and shake hands with somebody behind you, and God loves you and so do I. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let's pray. God, we need this kind of an hour. Thank you for bringing us here. Thank you that this place is available to inspire us, to uplift us, to encourage us, to motivate us, to redeem us, and to put us back on the track following in the steps of Christ our Lord. So, we're in the right place right now, Lord. Thank you for putting it together. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming back, Ryan, and bringing what I think is the greatest glee club, male glee club, in America today. I think you're number one. Now, if there's ever any other choir listening and you think you're that good or better, come on out here and we'll let you sing. Is this your second or third time here?
Several.
Wow. Thank you very, very much. God bless you.
Hear these words of confidence and hope in God from the books of Psalms and Lamentations. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God. For to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation. But I, by your great mercy, will come into your house. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness. Make straight your way before me. Let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous, and you surround them with your favor as with a shield. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. May God add his blessings through the reading of his word.
Jesus Christ, my Lord, my hope restored, my peace, my rest, my joy, I am blessed.
I'm delighted to welcome today, for the first time to the Crystal Cathedral, the Oscar-nominated Golden Globe winner, Angela Bassett. She's not only extremely talented on stage and screen, she's not only a fantastic wife and mother of twins, but she is a beautiful Christian. A native of New York City, she grew up in St. Petersburg, Florida, with her sister and their mother, Betty. Now, Betty, her mother, was a single mother and a social worker. But she stressed to her daughters the importance of an education. Get an education. And with the assistance of an academic scholarship, Angela Bassett received her Bachelor of Arts degree in African American Studies from Yale University in 1980. And then in 1983, she earned a Master of Fine Arts degree from the Yale School of Drama. But it wasn't until 1993 that she earned widespread recognition for her portrayal of, get this, Tina Turner in the movie What's Love Got to Do with It? The performance garnered her a Golden Globe for Best Female as well as an Oscar nomination for the Best Female. She attributes her success to her deep faith in Jesus Christ. Please welcome Angela Bassett. When you look back in your childhood, are you amazed at where you are today?
I'm thoroughly amazed. Yes, very, very humble beginning. St. Petersburg, Florida, living in the housing projects there, and now here in Los Angeles, California, standing in this great cathedral with you. I am amazed and humbled.
Well, you've successfully portrayed some of the most celebrated real life influential black women, right?
Yes.
Name them.
Betty Shabazz, wife of Malcolm X.
I was at her funeral.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Amazing. Tina Turner, of course. Yeah. Rosa Parks. Katherine Jackson. Yes, so I've been very blessed to play these incredible women who've triumphed over amazing odds and and live to tell the tale and to influence and inspire others to be better human beings.
You played those parts phenomenally, and great power comes more than we know from the subconscious, and memory has a great deal to play in that. You said you had some difficult times.
Yes, growing up, without a father, single mother, housing projects. But I had wonderful women in my life. My mother, who stressed education, although she only went to the 12th grade. My father's sister, who was our first PhD, and as a kid, she would send us her report cards, to inspire us when she would just continue to further her education to Dr. Bassett, during the summers, just slowly, just encouraging us. And but all of that possible because of, the presence of God in our family and in our lives. My mother took us to the house of prayer, and it made an impact so that when I was grown, I continued to take myself there to worship with the people of God.
Tell me, you got a new movie coming, right?
Yes.
Any day, in fact, it may be the day after this is heard. Tell us about it.
Yes, I voice the role of Mildred in a Disney animated movie, Meet the Robinsons, and it's about a little boy, Lewis, who is orphaned, left on the steps of an orphanage that I'm the director of one rainy evening, and he's a bright, eccentric, scientific little genius, but he makes mistakes, and many, two dozen adoptive parents don't see what's special about him, but Mildred does, and
wow.
She encourages him to continue
wow.
to look toward the future, to that there's a family, there's someone out there who will see what's special about you and love you just as you are. But it's hard to hang on to that. But
you brought
but
a little
must.
Clip. We can see it now, I think.
Okay.
All right, Einstein, you owe Michael big time.
Well, unlocking the secrets of the brain took a lot longer than I expected. But it's finished, Mildred. I recalibrated the headset. Now the neural circuits will connect. I've cracked the hippocampus!
Really? Okay. What?
I'm late! I gotta go!
Wait a minute, Lewis, wait a minute. I almost forgot what I came up here for. I know you have a lot on your plate today, but I've scheduled an interview for you this afternoon.
No thanks.
No thanks? Sweetheart, this is about being adopted.
I'm done with interviews, Mildred. I'm not going to be rejected anymore.
Listen, I know where your head is, but I'm telling you, you have got to get out of the past and look to the future.
I am, and this is it. I'm sorry.
Fantastic. Now, that's a movie you can all take your kids to,
yes.
right?
Yes.
You know, God has really blessed you, and I think it's because you have principles, you have morals, and you stand up for them.
I feel so blessed to be a child of God, and I know that He has something special for each and every one of us, and I know that our lives are the only gospel that some folks will ever
That's
have
right.
an opportunity to read. So it's
right.
important how you carry yourself. And I know that he's helped me to accomplish more than I ever thought I could. My husband and I wrote a book a couple of weeks ago that was published. I never considered myself a writer or imagined that I have anything of importance to share. But our lives, all of our lives, can inspire others. He's given me gifts that I never thought I'd receive, and that's the gift of our children, Bronwyn and Slater, through surrogacy. I thought it was, too late and impossible. He's brought me to places I never thought I'd go, that's standing here in this place with you, and He's done for me what I couldn't do for myself, and that's forgive me and save me from all my sins.
Right? Oh, that's yes. great. Angela? Give my best to your pastor.
I sure will.
And come back again sometime.
Thank you. It's been an honor to visit.
Thank you, Angela. One of the great Oscar nominees. I love you. Thank you.
Sing your righteousness forever.
gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, rich in love, faithful to your promises, and loving to all you have made. Your saints will sing for joy. They'll tell the glory of your kingdom forever. One generation will commend your works to another.
Het is altijd weer genieten van de muziek in de Crystal Cathedral. En wat voor grote talenten komen daar steeds op in de kerk naar voren. En ook gelukkig heel veel jong talent. Nou, ik ben blij dat we vanmorgen in Hour of Power Nederland een jonge kijkster hebben van Hour of Power. En ze wordt ook wel een wonderkind genoemd. Dat is straks al even gehoord op de trompet. Het is Melissa Venema. Ze zit in groep 8 op de basisschool. En ze speelt voortreffelijk trompet. Melissa, heel hartelijk welkom.
Dank u.
Leuk om hier te zitten, hè?
Ja.
Dan zit je te lachen.
Niks.
Je vindt het gewoon leuk.
Ja.
Ja, had je niet gedacht, hè?
Nee.
Nee. Nou, maar ik kreeg je cd. Ik denk, die is mooi. Heel, je eerste cd, hè?
Ja.
Prachtig gemaakt. Je kijkt met je hele familie op zondagmorgen, voordat je naar de kerk gaat, naar Hour of Power. Wat vind je zo leuk of boeiend aan Hour of Power?
Ik vind de muziek heel erg mooi. En vooral die man die met twee trompetten speelt tegelijk.
Ja. Ja. Meneer Ryder heet hij.
Oké.
Hele knappe trompetist met die twee stukken. Nou, ik heb een verrassing voor je. We hebben aan de Crystal Cathedral gevraagd, omdat jij hier was vanmorgen, of ze hem konden uitnodigen. En denk je dat dat gelukt is?
Ja.
Ja?
Ja.
Nou, je hebt veel vertrouwen in ons. Fantastisch. Ja, Alfa is mooi, hè? Al die goede muzikanten. Inspireert je dat ook?
Ja.
Ja. Geloof je ook?
Ja.
Wat geloof je?
Dat hij voor ons aan het kruis is gestorven en onze zonde opnam. Zo. En dat hij weer op is gestaan.
Ja, dat is precies de kern van het evangelie. Hoe ontdekte jij jouw muzikale talenten?
Ik ging naar Roemenië en daar was een hele muzikale mevrouw. Daar gingen we dan dus naartoe, een muzikale familie. En die zei dat ik talent had. En toen zei ze dat ik de beste leraar moest zoeken. En toen hadden we dat gedaan. Toen ben ik op het conservatorium terechtgekomen.
Ja, maar je bent niet begonnen met trompetten?
Nee, blokfluit.
Ja. Is trompet spelen moeilijk?
Ja, best wel. Vooral voor jonge kinderen.
Waarom?
Je hebt veel lucht nodig en grote longen.
Ja, wat doe je om grote longen te krijgen?
Veel oefenen elke dag.
Maar je ouders zijn trots op je, geloof ik.
Ja, heel erg.
Ja, ja, ja. Nou, dat is ook leuk als je ouders hebt die helemaal voor je gaan. Hey, Melissa, het was wel een verrassing van jou, hè, gisteren in die grote kerk in Apeldoorn, om daar met het koor en Jan Mulder en dat orkest te spelen. Vond je niet?
Ja, heel erg leuk.
Ja, hè?
Ja.
Dat was een verrassing voor je.
Ja, zeker.
Ja, zo'n klein ukkie, hè?
Ja.
In die grote kerk. Melissa, je hebt ook een zusje waar je veel van houdt.
Ja.
Wat is er mee aan de hand?
Die is verlamd geraakt.
Ja.
Voor de verjaardag, 3 dagen voor de verjaardag. En daar ga ik dus elke week wel naartoe.
Ja.
Op bezoek. En helpen.
Ja.
Maar ze kan niet praten. Ze zit in de rolstoel.
Ja. Want in het begin ging je alleen maar via letters praten en ogen knipperen, hè?
Ja.
En nu?
En nu met een spraakcomputertje.
Ja. Dat is wel erg, hè?
Ja.
Hoe is dat? Hoe vind je dat? Om een zusje te hebben wat eigenlijk bijna niks meer kan, hè?
Dat is wel lastig.
Ja.
Maar ik spreek wel elke dag op MSN.
Ja?
Ja.
Oh ja. Dat is wel leuk. Dus je hebt elke dag contact.
Ja.
Wat is jouw droom?
Omdat ik later solotrompetist mag worden en dirigent en lesgeven aan kinderen met muziek maken. En bij André Rieu een keer in het orkest spelen.
Hé, hey, weet je, het is wel leuk wat je over André Rieu zegt. Want die kijkt ook heel vaak naar Hour of Power. Wist je dat?
Nee.
Ja, maar een paar keer hadden we gevraagd, joh, kom nou eens een keer hier bij me thuis op visite. Maar nog niet. Dus misschien kijkt hij nu. André, kom ook eens een keer hier. En nou, je weet behoorlijk wat je wil.
Ja.
Ja. En waarom maak je muziek? Want ik heb naar je cd geluisterd. Dus leuk, Mozart en populaire liederen, maar ook veel geestelijke liederen.
Ja, het is gewoon een hele leuke hobby om te doen. Concerten geven en de mensen blij maken. Ja.
Blij maken?
Ja, en nou, voor God te spelen.
Nou, kijk. Dan heb je alles gezegd. Melissa, ik vond het hartstikke leuk dat je hier was. Bedankt.
Ja.
Geef je even de hand.
Ja.
De hand die zo mooi op die toetsen kan spelen. En ik krijg van mij een mooi boekje.
Dank u wel.
Thuis met je familie te lezen. Hé, hey, je maakt heel veel mensen blij met je muziek. Maak mij nou eens blij met het meest gezongen, meest bespeelde lied ter wereld. Amazing Grace. Lukt dat?
Ja.
Zomaar uit je hoofd?
Ja.
Zonder muziek?
Ja.
Super. Geweldig. Nou, je hebt een lange adem, Melissa. Ik vond het heel leuk dat je hier was. Kom nog eens terug. Ja, jij ook?
Ja,
goed
zeker.
Zo, goed zo. Leuk om te horen. Nou, wij gaan naar de Crystal Cathedral. Ik heb het beloofd. Hebben we gevraagd of Cheers daar kon optreden. Cheers Ryder. Hij woont toevallig ook vlakbij de kerk. En hij gaat een prachtig lied spelen met die twee trompetten. Dat doet hij ongelooflijk knap. En dat is getiteld Give Me That Old Time Religion. Een echt mooi jazzy nummer. Thank you.
God's people said, wow.
Psalm 61 begins with these words. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Wow. Lead me to the rock. Who said this? Why did he say it? Where was he coming from? Well, the author is David. And it's the same David, a shepherd boy. He loved to play the harp. He loved the sheep. And he came to the attention of King Saul, who had his own neurological problems, was a mentally sick character. And he wanted David to play for him, and he did. And you know how the story ends. Well, it really begins when Samuel the prophet tells King Saul, David is to be the next king, not your son. Well, his son was limp. And on his first day as king, David called the appropriate heir, the son, to see him. The son was hiding, trying to escape. He knew that the new king would kill him. But he was captured, brought to David, and David said, you are the rightful heir to this throne that was given to me. You now have nothing. Be my guest. Live in my home. We will love you and take care of you. That's David. He's a wonderful, wonderful person. Until he got control and power. It's often been said, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And if you want to read the real story, which I wouldn't want to read from this pulpit, in 2 Samuel, it reads awful, like a soap opera. I mean, there's sex, there's violence, there's deception, there's duplicity. It's awful. This wonderful little child, what he became. When he got power, he began to believe he was in control. He had the power, and he no longer depended so reverently, mystically, and quietly on the Almighty God for his strength. He already had it. Or he didn't need to depend on God for power. He had it. He didn't need to depend on God for success. He was a success. Well, where does that change of attitude lead him? It leads him into trouble. And in trouble, finally, he's asking the question, lead me, Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Wow. What was his problem? I think in one word, I would call it he was overwhelmed. You ever had that overwhelmed feeling? What was he overwhelmed with? Not with enemies that were going to dethrone him. No, he was overwhelmed. I made about 5 points. First, he was overwhelmed by temptation. Very conspicuous. There's never been a king that did anything worse than David when he saw the beautiful Bathsheba, wanted her, and had her husband appointed to the front of the line when the attack was made in war, so the odds of him being killed were substantial, and in fact, it worked out. And so she was widowed, and he took her to be his wife. He was overwhelmed with this temptation. And I think our culture is finding a lot of people overwhelmed by temptations. He was overwhelmed then by guilt. You can never read a more penitent piece of poetry than Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. If you ever feel guilty, and you will, so do I, read Psalm 51. It's so therapeutic. Lead me to a rock. I can hold on to it and I will not be shaken into sin through temptation. Lead me to a rock, and a rock that can guarantee that I can be pardoned. You know, religion has, through the centuries, offered all kinds of solutions to guilt, least perceived solutions. But many of them are unstable. Most of them depend upon you paying a price. It's what's called in theology salvation by works. It doesn't work because there's no grace. It was Martin Luther who had a terrible problem with guilt. And he did everything the church said you should do. And he followed the ritual and he followed the church law. And finally, he was still as guilty as hell. And he walked up the steps on his knees praying for forgiveness. And he was led to the Bible verse, by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself, it's a gift of God. You feel guilty. Go to the God of mercy and love. Oh, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. All other ground is sinking sand. He was overwhelmed by temptation and then, of course, guilt. And then, of course, overwhelmed by grief. Sure, he got the beautiful Bathsheba. He got her. And she lost her child, their child. He got Bathsheba. They had a son named Absalom who would be taken away in a pitiful death later on. Always there's guilt mixed in with grief. I used to do a lot of counseling in my younger years and through funerals of beloved church members. And every time someone is in grief, there tends to be guilt mixed into it. Most often undeserved. In this case with David, it was deserved. Overwhelmed by grief. Lead me to the rock that I can hold on to. A wonderful friend of mine is having problems today. And he said, I don't think I ever got over losing my son. Grief overwhelms you. It takes you along. A wonderful member of this church sent me a beautiful story. Hadley, are you here this morning? Or is he at the 11 o'clock service? Stand up so they know that I'm telling the truth, please. They know your face, because this is an unbelievable story. That's one of our greatest church members. You know, he said one Friday morning, he's one of our great volunteers, you know, and he was on tour guide duty, and suddenly, there was nobody here. He saw a man come up, and he said, seeing that man come up, I could see he was not a possibility thinker. And he approached me, and he didn't look very happy. I asked if he'd ever heard of the Hour of Power. He said, yeah, I watched it once. I said, would you like a tour? Sure, but let me tell you right up front where I'm coming from. I said, okay, lay it on me. He spent 10 minutes telling me everything that was wrong here. What a disgraceful expenditures, et cetera, et cetera. He laid it all out. I said, well, you know, I've been around here for 32 years, and believe me, you're not the only one that's found fault with this ministry, but why don't we take a walk around a bit and let's see if I can change your mind. He scoffed and said, you would have one tough time. I spent 1 hour and 45 minutes with that guy. The miracle was nobody else joined us. We were alone for that entire time. At the Good Shepherd statue, I told him we'd once found a note of confession placed at the feet of Jesus. Then he volunteered. He said, you know, that was probably from someone who'd carried a weight of sin for years, and when they laid it at Jesus' feet, they left here as if a ton of weight had been lifted from their shoulders. And then he told me
many years ago. His 9-year-old son died of cancer. And he said, I became totally alienated from God. Overwhelmed by grief. And he said, yeah, I can hardly believe what's been happening to me since I entered this place earlier this morning. Wow. I said, let's have a prayer. And just then the phone rang, and it was his wife. Her meeting was over. She wanted to get together and have lunch. He said, I prayed that he and his wife would be blessed and always sense the presence of Jesus. And when we finished praying, he showed me the goosebumps on his arm and said, you know what that is? I think it represents the Holy Spirit. And I said, you're right. And I showed him the same goosebumps on my arm. Overwhelmed. Some of you still are overwhelmed by grief. Subconsciously. You think you pushed it away, but it's doing danger. Overwhelmed by temptation, overwhelmed by guilt, overwhelmed by grief, and then overwhelmed by threats. Yes, David had his enemies, but the real threat to his life was his sense of power and control. He had to have it. He had to be in charge. Does life throw a curve at you? Are you in a battle to win, to hold, to exercise power and control in your family, in your marriage, in your career, in your profession, in politics, in finances? You are the boss. You're the king. It can overwhelm you until you don't hear people and don't feel what people are feeling. How about you? Do you feel overwhelmed once in a while? Maybe this morning? Maybe last week? I heard a story the other day. It was kind of funny about a man and wife. They were overwhelmed by a disagreement, and they got into a period where they didn't even talk to each other. They just pouted. They would not speak a word to each other until one night he was going to go to bed, and he remembered he was going to go fishing the next morning. He had to get up at 5 a.m., but he wouldn't tell his wife. He left a note on her pillow. Wake me up at 5 a.m. tomorrow. He woke up at 9 o'clock. Boy, was he mad. And he saw a note on the pillow. It's 5 o'clock, time to get up. You know, some are overwhelmed by paper, some by projects, some by people, some by problems, some by possibilities. Overwhelmed by talent, opportunities, possibility thinking. Yes. Lead me to the rock so I will make the right decision for my life. Lead me to a rock that is higher. And I. Or maybe you're overwhelmed by a collision of insecurities. Maybe they're conscious. Like, where's my money going? How much did I lose? Will I have enough? More, more, more. When is enough enough? Where does this spirit lead? Yes, to greed. And that doesn't produce joy. Overwhelmed by a collision of insecurities. Lead me to a rock. The Bible does this. It teaches us that if we give 10% of our money to God, we don't have to worry about the other 90%. But if you don't give the 10, you will never be satisfied with whatever you keep. It's a decision you have to make. Overwhelmed by a collision, conscious and unconscious. A lot of our overwhelming insecurities are not conscious, but subconsciously, will this marriage hold? Will it survive? Will my children turn out okay? How about my grandkids? How can they grow up in this kind of a world and not be morally corrupt? Lead me to a rock that is higher than I, Lord. Lord. Then you worry, maybe consciously or surely unconsciously, about the ultimate insecurity. It's called death and dying. Because nobody talks about it. It's not happy news. Oh, it's happy news if you know Jesus Christ. Because here, for sure, I can give you a rock that is eternal. Hold on to it. Well, lead me to the rock. That was a prayer. Question: was the prayer answered? How was it answered? When was it answered? Read 2 Samuel. And David found a rock. It was a solid island in a stormy sea, an unshakable, stable, solid foundation of stone for his faith, which carried him through to the happy ending that was so beautifully sung for us by the choir this morning. Fast forward, listen to the poet. He found a solid rock, and he put it in these words: the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Yes, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. Amen. That's the faith I offer to you. That's the solid rock. Oh, on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen.
But all through the blood, Sometimes on the mount, where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. And sometimes in the valley, through the darkest of night, our God leads his dear children along.
God, may the peace of Jesus be with you in your going out and in your coming in your lying down and in your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen.
En zo zijn we gekomen aan het einde van deze uitzending van Hour of Power. En ik hoop dat u en jij er wat aan gehad hebt. Dat je er een stukje bemoediging uit hebt kunnen halen voor vandaag. En voor de komende dagen. Iedereen die het moeilijk heeft, van harte sterkte toegewenst. En ik hoop ook dat deze uitzending helpt om zeker te weten dat God bestaat. Dat hij liefde is en dat hij van je houdt. Nou, dat is vanavond ook de boodschap in de Pieterskerk in Leiden, waar dominee Schuller hoopt te spreken, de jonge dominee Schuller. En waar we muziek hebben van het Power Quintet, geweldig blazersensemble van de Cathedral Singers, onder leiding van Jan Mulder. En we hopen op een hele fijne en gezegende zondagsdienst. U bent er van harte welkom. Iedereen. Het begint om 8:00. En als u niet kunt komen, een hele fijne zondag. En anders graag tot vanavond. Amen.